They will be coming back in for the sweater contest because a lot of them will be involved, and we want to see them up here on the stage. Amen. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm excited to be here, and obviously I'm excited to see my family with me this morning. I hadn't seen them for a year, and yesterday was my birthday, and I tell people I'm 29. They said, "Did you say 69? I said, "No." So, now I don't care how old you think I am. I asked Luke one time. I think he wasn't, but about 8 years old. I said, "Son, how old do you think I am?" He said, "Oh, about 63. I said, "Well, I do pretty good for 63. That's all I'm going to say. Good to be here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Enjoyed that good singing, and I do love Christmas music. I don't like a Christmas radio station that all they sing is "Rocking Around the Christmas Tree" and "All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth" and that kind of stuff. I like Christmas music that sings about Jesus. We were fortunate enough to be able to go Friday night to see John Berry up at the Milltown Music Hall, and I know some of you go up there from time to time. And that was very good, and I'll tell you why. He's got some songs that if I were to sing them, I'm not going to sing them, but you'd recognize them, that 70s, 80s country music back when you could tell country from pop. But he sang a little bit of that, but over half the show he sang Christmas music that was about Jesus. And he gave his testimony, and I told Brother Rick Gravett, I said, "I got preached behind that guy," because I was getting ready. Coming up in March, there is a Crab family reunion going to be up there, and we're going to try to get some more information on that. So if anybody in the church wants to go, I'd love to go see that. I love being around people that sing about Jesus, and I love to be around God's people. I want to say this morning, thank you to those that have worked so hard, the choir, for Miss Donna, for those up in the sound booth. Also, y'all know every time we have choir practice, we got to have people up there. And they've been very faithful to come, and we appreciate them. Appreciate those that work in the church, the children's church. Wednesday night, how many youth we have here, Brother Allen?
42.
Wow. 42 youth Wednesday night. They came in here, and we had a Christmas wrapping party. And it was good fellowship. I was watching them, and we ought to learn how to serve God. God has given us so much, and Jesus was the gift. It's the gift of God that we might have life and be able to be saved. But sometimes we need to learn how to give to others, and they learn how to do that. And thank you, church, for the presents that you bought, for those that were on the angel tree, and we had those given out yesterday. And I think we gave out over 20 Christmas boxes also yesterday. So thank you for that. Amen. And I want to say also thank you. We look around, and I know there's a lot going on, folks, out there. Okay, this pandemic is still here. People are still getting sick. We did have one positive. They weren't in the church positive, but they came up positive during the week. And that little girl out in children's church, we did call every parent and make them aware of that. We're having them at work, and you're having them where you work, and you just got to be aware. You got to be careful. If you're sick, stay home and get better. Don't give it to anybody else, and let's try to get through this, because I believe we're going to get through it. We're going to get through this season, and this is a season that, it's the runny nose, it's the virus, it's the headaches, and, I went out yesterday and greatly enjoyed on my birthday some 30-degree weather.
Amen.
And I walked in the frost, and I hadn't seen it like this in quite some time, but where you walk down a dirt road and the frost is about that high, sticking straight up, and it's crunching under your feet. And I know y'all think I'm crazy, but I had a great time. But when you're out like that, you got to be careful, okay? Especially if you're sick or could get sick. Please be aware. Take care of yourself and care for one another. We got some folks this morning that aren't feeling well, or they'd be in the house of the Lord. But can I tell you what we have going on at Hiram First Baptist Church is not going on everywhere. There are churches and people that need our prayer. We meet people regularly that ask us to pray for their church because their numbers are down. Some people aren't coming and they're afraid to come, and I certainly understand that. But there are churches that are not going to make it through this pandemic. They won't be around when this is over. So I want to tell you thank you. Thank you for what you've done, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you to come. That's not it at all. I want to thank you for supporting the church when you cannot come. Thank you for watching on Facebook. Thank you for continuing to send in your offerings and tithes to the church, because we do still have bills and they are still coming in. And we want to be here when this is over with so we can do the work of the Lord. So that we can, until Jesus comes, be able to see as many as the Bible says be saved, such as should be saved. Because I do believe that there will come a time, and this is when I think Jesus is going to come. The Lord already knows the last person that's going to accept him. And when that last person is saved because of the prayers of that mother or the prayers of that brother or the prayers of that dad, that's when Jesus is going to come. And people say, well, what about this side? And what about what's going on over here? It is the long-suffering of our Lord that keeps Jesus from coming. And one day the last person is going to be saved. And we want to be continually serving the Lord until he comes. Amen? Amen. This morning, if you got your Bible, I told him this morning, I said, I have a 4-week Bible study for service this morning, and we're not going to do that, okay? So I'm going to try to pray and follow God, but I want to get you to think about something this morning. I want you to think about a place called Bethlehem, and I want you to think about what happened in Bethlehem. And as I begin to think about it, and I was really trying to pray about what God would want me to speak on this morning. I had a couple of different things on my heart, and we were over there, and a couple of, I guess you could call it confirmations for me happened when Mr. John Berry stood up with a song that he said was on a cassette tape that sat on a shelf for 10 years after it was written, and nobody really did anything with it. And the name of the song was My Heart is Bethlehem. And he began to talk about if your heart was Bethlehem, think about all the things that happened there, where would your heart end up being? Would there be room in your heart for Jesus? If he came, would you welcome him? If he came, would you recognize him? And then you think about it, why? Have you ever thought about why Bethlehem? Well, I want to give you just a couple of things before we go into the message this morning about Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem actually means house of bread. That's the name. You know, every name, if you go and pull up your concordance or go to the front of your Bible and you look at the cities and the names, you'll see the significance. And there's a lot of significance in Bethlehem. Now, if we go back and consider it, Bethlehem, and this is important to understand, Bethlehem was the home of Naomi. Bethlehem was the home of Boaz. Now, I don't have time to get in the story of Naomi and Boaz and Ruth, but I will tell you this. It's just 5 chapters. Read it. Read it with the understanding that this is a picture of Christ and his church. And when it talks about Boaz going and taking Ruth out of the field and bringing her into his house, folks, that's a picture and a type of the rapture of the church. If you understand when he took his shoe off and he gave it, and there was one that was a nearer kinsman, but he could not come and redeem them because it would mar his own inheritance. That's a picture of grace and the law. You see, there's significance in Bethlehem. And then if you go further, you will understand that Bethlehem was also the home of David. I mean, God's word and the things in God's word don't happen by coincidence or happenstance, but they happen according to the divine knowledge and understanding of a God in heaven that looked down on man and cared for us just as we are. Now, beginning this morning with our scripture, let's go over to Galatians chapter number 4. And I want to read one verse, a simple verse. It's Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. And remember, God knows the times. We don't. Do you know the Bible teaches us no man knows when the Lord's going to return? Some are going to try to tell you, and I've preached on it before, you know, 88 reasons why the Lord's coming back in 88. And here we are, how many years later? You know, by the way, they were still taking donations on that website the next day. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4, says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. What I want you to understand is that God's timing is perfect. Everything God does was perfect. And it says in Matthew chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem. How did they know? It said, For thus it is written by the prophet. Well, I'll flip over to the prophet, and I want to read you the prophecy that they understood. And as we go through this things this morning and we talk about Bethlehem, here's what I want you to understand. I'm going to read from the Old Testament and the New Testament. But keep in mind that Herod, that the wise men, that all the people of that day, they did not have the New Testament. They did not have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They did not have Acts and Romans or any of the epistles or the writing of Paul. They did not have the revelation which was written by John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos. They had the Old Testament only, because there was a period of 400 years of what appeared to be or seemed to be to the people silence. And if you understand the Christmas story, one significant thing is there was a man named Simeon, and he had been shown by God that he would not see death until he held and saw the Lord's Christ. And can you imagine day after day, week after week, with God not moving, with nothing speaking except the individual Spirit of God speaking to you, being like Simeon when he was in the temple, when they walked in with a little baby. And the Holy Spirit of God, which is real then, which is real today, revealed to him, this is him. In his entire life, everything that he had done was wrapped up in that moment when he took the baby Jesus in his hands, and no doubt trembling, he held him up to heaven, knowing that this was the Lord's Christ. Remember, all they had was the Old Testament. In Micah chapter number 5, verse number 2, says, But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old of everlasting. Now here's what they understood. They searched the scriptures to see the place, and they knew that it would be Bethlehem. You see, Bethlehem was a significant place for a significant birth. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was a fulfillment of prophecy. And I don't have time to read all these, but I'll give you some prophecies that are written in the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New. And this is not limited to this, okay? These are just the ones I want to touch on. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, is fulfilled and written to be read in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 30, 31. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, fulfilled in Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. Genesis 49 and 10, fulfilled in Luke 3 and 33. Genesis 3 and 15, see Galatians chapter 4. Remember in Genesis it talks about the seed of a woman. Folks, that's a prophetic verse. There's only one child ever been born of a woman without a man, and that's Jesus. Amen. And I believe that, and I want you to understand something. You need to believe that. Amen. Because I can't help but believe if your heart is to be conditioned to accept a Savior, you must be conditioned for faith. Yep. To believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. You see, Herod knew enough to call the priests, the scribes, to ask them where the coming king would be born. Now consider this, the price. The priests and the scribes of that day, they knew enough about the Old Testament to know what the scripture said where the king would be born. But how did they really treat Jesus when he finally came? See, but Herod still didn't believe. And we also know from later chapters in scripture that in Jesus' life, the scribes and the Pharisees, they chose not to believe. And I believe that's what people are doing. You either choose to believe or you choose not to believe. Let's go to Luke chapter number 2, and I want to just look at just a couple of scriptures. We're not going to be able to read them all for time. But I want us to read just a couple of verses in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David." Folks, there's something very significant about Joseph. Joseph was in the lineage of David. And he's the monarch in this picture. He was just a carpenter, but if he were fulfilled in his proper place, he would have been king. You see, he went to be taxed with Mary, his wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And the scripture says that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You see, when Jesus is born and they went to the inn and they knocked on the door, more than likely the great journey and her being great with child, which means she was about to bust. And even as a young woman, you know, sometimes I see ladies in their 40s and late 40s having children, and, you know, one of our children was born late in life, and I'll tell you, it's different. But even when you're young and on a journey, they didn't arrive in a Yukon XL with the air conditioner on and the seat leaning back, or the seat heater on, as my wife likes to have it. She arrived on a little donkey. And I'm sure he helped her off, and they knocked on the door, and they went up to the door, and he looked at him, and he says, I don't have any more room. And I get that, okay? That happens sometimes. We've been there. But did they really understand who was standing at the door? You see, I believe had the keeper known, had the people known that the Savior of the entire world, that Mary, who was a very, very fine young lady, because the Scripture says that she was, that God specifically chose her to be the mother of Jesus, had they known, they would have made a place. Surely somebody would have come forth, as sometimes gentlemen do, as good people do. And you ever seen anybody get up and say, "You can have my chair. You can have my place. Or even you can have my room." But they didn't understand. We assume that perhaps they simply didn't see what was about to happen. And as we think about that, and we think about the song that I mentioned, if your heart was Bethlehem, and Jesus comes and he knocks on your door, is there room in your heart for Jesus? You know, the problem in America today, in our world today, is we're so full. Our time is full. We're full with work. We're full with other actions, with other duties, with other responsibilities, and sometimes other thoughts. Sometimes we're so full of solutions and we think we know how to do everything by ourselves that we don't make room for God. If Jesus knocks on our heart's door, is there room for him? You see, even on his birthday, many don't have room for Jesus. But I want to tell the world today, Christmas is about Jesus. Some people want to have Christmas without Jesus. For a period of time, you remember everywhere it was Merry Xmas. Tell you, I've been on a lot of conference calls this week. I do that. Teams calls, you know. Hollywood Squares. Everybody's picture on the screen. I have heard more people close meetings this year. You got the happy holidays, but I'm hearing Merry Christmas. You know why it's Merry Christmas? Because it's about Jesus. Now, is it significant? You say, well, do we really know that it's December 25th? I don't know. I'm not an astrologer. But I'll give you a couple of thoughts in just a minute. You see, Bethlehem was significant. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. And obviously, there's something about there being no room for the inn, because we need to examine ourselves, right? See if we have room for him. But what about the star? You see, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the best I can tell from what I'm understanding looking at Scripture is they remained in Bethlehem for a period of time. They didn't immediately just have the baby, pay their taxes, and leave, but they were there. Remember, this is where he was originally from. Joseph was from this place. And there was a star that shone so bright over the place that they were that people traveled from great distance to come to that place. Now, we've got our manger scene up here, and we see Jesus in his little manger. And a manger was a place where they would feed the animals. You know, when you walked in and saw the manger, it could have been that there was hay in there. It could have been that there was some feed in there. And they took swaddling clothes, which I've heard it said like this, that these perhaps were rags that they used for the animals. They took those and they wrapped him and they laid him in the hay, pretty much like you see. But the baby began to grow, the baby Jesus. You know, thankfully, I have my little granddaughter with us this morning. She's not quite two, and I haven't seen her in a year. And it's amazing, the change. Could you imagine watching Jesus grow? Watching his mind develop and him respond? We know very little about those times. The Bible tells us about when he was 12 years old and he was in the temple and he spoke, and the scribes and the priests, they heard him speak and they were amazed at him when he began to quote the scripture to him. And he remained there, and you know, just like you and I, have you all ever left your kids? I know some of you have. Mary and Joseph did. They were traveling in a band and they got out of town, and I don't know how far, but they looked and they said, "Where's Jesus?" And they came back and they found him in the temple speaking at 12 years old to the people. And he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" No doubt, and I think my granddaughter's pretty smart. Amazing to me. I told her, "Mom," I said, "it's coming." And it tickles me a little bit. But could you imagine being around Jesus as a child and a baby? There'd never been anybody that would have known what he knew. Never been anybody who would have had that intellect or that IQ or that understanding. You see, you and I can't measure God. We try to understand him now with a finite mind. This was the God of the universe wrapped up in a small baby and a child that grew with a plan. And that star that was there that shone over him, it showed for a period of time, because it took time for those wise men to come. And what I want you to understand about the stars is God created the stars. I was out the other night, and I love to go out and look at the stars when the sky is bright, with the understanding that some of the stars that you're looking at may not even exist anymore. They could have burned out long ago, and you're still seeing the light that's traveling. And I think about it in this fashion. In its amazement, in its greatment, in the wonder that there is in the stars, the Scripture simply says in Genesis chapter 1, the latter part of verse number 16, speaking of God, he made the stars also. As great as all that is, as vast as it is, God said that you are important to him. The Scripture says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. See, God loved you enough that he sent his only begotten son. Stars, yes, they're amazing. Job acknowledges the power of God in chapter 9, verse number 7, number 10. Read that and see how God had already named them. It wasn't the astrologers, it's the hand of God. David declares God's majesty in Psalms chapter 19, verse 1 to 4. But in Luke chapter 21, the scripture even says, Jesus said, there's going to be more signs in the stars. You see, as true believers, we simply accept what the Word of God says, and I do. I just accept the Word of God. I'm a Christian. I've been saved, and here's why I accept the Word of God. Because I feel the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Christians get mocked for what they believe, and they say, well, you have simple faith. That's right. That's what saves you. But I believe in science. And I believe science supports the Word of God. Now, I want you to consider these three wise men, or these three magi, as they were called. The word magi comes from the same word that we get magic from. Some believe that these wise men who came from the east could have been, possibly, the descendants of Daniel. Now, I like to read things like that. Now, if you want to find somebody that's wise, his name was Daniel. They came from the east. They saw his star. And when they came, what did they say? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. You see, I believe that they were believers. And some say that the magi, with the ability that they had, the intelligence that they had, now you talk about them, okay, they're believers. Why would you think they're descendants of Daniel? Who was Daniel smarter than? He was smarter than all the physicians, all the magicians, all the scientists, all the astrologers of the day of Nebuchadnezzar. Who? And as they saw the star, the star went before them and it stood over the place where the child lay. And the best I can understand from studying is that astrological records show that it was 1225, December 25th, according to our current calendar, when they found him. And when they found him, the child was 2 years old. Now, here's the thing. Now, folks, I don't follow the stars. I don't read my horoscope. I pray. And I would tell you in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells you not to read yours. Now, that's another message for another time, but maybe I'll get to teach on that. But here's what you want to understand about the stars. He made them also. And there's two stars to consider. The star, according to astrological alignment, number one was Jupiter, which is known as the King Star. And it was believed, if you study the records, that it was in a perfect alignment with Venus, to create the brightest star ever to be seen in the sky. Now that's interesting to me. But I believe God could have just done this. Boop. Yeah. Amen. Okay? Hey, he created man from the dust of the earth. Yeah. Yeah. He spoke and we came into existence. Yeah. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. Yeah. But in his creation, can he not also in perfect time, in his wisdom and ability, cause them to line up? Sure he could. It's significant when you consider the King Star and Venus. And you consider Joseph the monarch. And you consider Mary the matriarch. As they come together in alignment, perfect alignment according to the will of God, that the Messiah, Jesus, could be born. So there is scientific evidence if you want it. Or you can just be like me and have childlike faith. You know, something else significant about this place in Bethlehem. And you go back to Luke chapter number 2 and you look at the 8th verse. Angels announced his birth. I believe in angels. And I believe that God sometimes sends them down. I believe that sometimes angelic visitations were recorded in the Word of God. But I believe there are still times that God intervenes and it's not written down. It's just on the pages of your life. But in chapter 8 it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, angelic appearances and godly manifestations are rare, but they do happen. The door that links the natural to the spiritual seldom opens in this fashion, but it does open. Now remember, this was Old Testament and the New Testament had not been written. And this was when Christ was born, it connected the old age to the living age. It was when A.D. and B.C. come together. A.D. is Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. It's the beginning of time as we measure it today. You see, in Genesis chapter 19, Abraham was visited by two angelic beings, and he was informed of the doom of Sodom. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15 to 17, the eyes of the servant of Elisha were opened, and he saw the host of heaven and the chariots and the fire and the power of God, so that Elijah said, I'm not afraid of them because I serve him. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 5 to 6, an angel possibly or likely Gabriel himself and Michael came to defend Daniel as Daniel fought with the prince of Persia. Read that story. 21 days fasting on his face, and the angels came. You know, you talk about spiritual warfare, there it is. The door doesn't open often, but it does open. Well, let's go to Luke chapter number 1. Gabriel came to Zacharias to announce the birth of John the Baptist. Remember, the scripture says how that when Mary came and spoke to Elizabeth and she said that she was with child, the babe leaped within her womb. I want to tell you, the Lord doth know how the bones do grow in the womb. There's a scripture for that. Angelic beings in Luke chapter 2 came and spoke to the shepherds to announce the birth of Christ, and they sing praises unto God. Brother Jeff sang a song last week. It's such a strange way to save the world. You see, what the scribes and the Pharisees and the people of Jesus' day wanted is they wanted a king to come marching in and set up his kingdom and defend them and defeat all of their enemies and give them all of the things that they wanted and set them up as rulers of the world. But he said, I come to seek and to save that which was lost. Which leads to the last point, that Jesus came to be Lord to all who would receive him. Now look at the difference at those who gather around the manger. You and I cannot at all see into the heart. Sometimes even when we make judgments, we make bad judgments because we can't. Remember little David, he's from Bethlehem. All of the sons of Jesse came. And the prophet looked at him and said, these are not the ones. And David came. God does not look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And what Jesus Christ did, and what I want you to see, is he made it possible for all the world, any who would come, to receive him. We have shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping them watch over their flocks by night. Y'all remember the live nativity scene we had? Them sheep are hard to control, aren't they, Brother Al? And they don't smell good. They stink. And the shepherds came. And then we see the kings. And they come bearing gifts, which is great. The shepherds just came. But they worshiped, and he accepted them. The wise men came, and they brought gifts because they could, and if you can, then you give. But when they came, They worshiped him. Now Herod, you know, he was told about what was going to happen in Bethlehem. And the scribes and the priests, they searched and they told him. And he told the wise men, he said, when you find him, you come tell me. God spoke to these kings in a dream, warned them. And when they came to Jesus, they left a different way. You know, when we study this story, what I want you to understand is the shepherds came to Jesus because they believed. The wise men came because I believe they came because they believed, or else why would they have traveled? Why would they have brought gifts? And when they came, they left a different way. See, I don't believe anyone can actually be in the presence of a living God and see him as he is and not be changed. You see, and I still believe that wise men still seek him. We're going to ask Miss Mandy to come, and she's going to sing a song. And like always, I believe we should always have a time to give an open invitation to accept Christ. You see, perhaps this morning, we don't know, there could be somebody here, you've never let Jesus into your heart. If your heart is Bethlehem, do you have room for him? Or is your heart filled with so many things that there's not a place for Jesus? The way they could have made a place for Jesus in the end is they could have looked for something that really didn't need to be there. And they could have moved it out. Sometimes that's the way it is in our life. It could be a new present that you're going to get. Some of you, your closet is so full, you're going to have to get rid of it. Goodwill's going to see something for you to make room for the new. Some of you, the closet's that way. Sometimes it's that way at work. You have to make a decision what you're going to do. What about when it comes to accepting Christ? You say, well, you know, you look at your life, I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready. I had a man tell me one time, I was talking to him about the Lord, and I went to visit him. He was on my heart, and I still can see his face. He said, I'm just not ready to give up. And he mentioned two or three things, and I just dropped my head. You got to make room for Jesus. As she sings this song this morning, if God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray, if you want to come and take somebody by the hand, I'm sure somebody will pray with you. But I ask you to rise to your feet. Maybe you just want to come and praise God. We have so much. Yes, ma'am.